Our reading from the scriptures this evening comes from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Chapter 4 ends with the beautiful thought that as great as our affliction now may seem, it's light because it's but for a moment, and it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This we know while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house, not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, this tent, over against the house, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we might be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror, the fear that is, of the Lord, we persuade men, for we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. But that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth show we no man after the flesh, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May God bless this word to us. In the 10th verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we have the text that God gives to us tonight. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The men who have businesses know that today, the last day of the year, they, quote, close the books, end quote. Start a new book tomorrow. We close the books on this calendar year with all of the joy that was a part of it and with all the sorrow that was a part of it. Nothing that was done can be changed. It's all finished. Nothing can be altered. Revelation 20, verse 12, puts it this way. The dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books, according to their works. That's idea that we bring the year to an end is an alert to us that there will be an end to this world. And while admittedly it's pretty sobering to consider this passage and the day of judgment, it's not wrong for us. In fact, there's a fittingness to it that we use this kind of a text on a day like this. So we consider what the scriptures have to say about the final judgment. First of all, we want to consider the idea of it, then the purpose of it, and then the necessity of it. The idea of it, its purpose, and its necessity. And that idea of the necessity comes from the word must. When God gives us a must, there's no avoiding it. It's necessary. We sang a versification of Psalm 93 or 96. Both of those psalms record the thoughts, 96 or 98, both of those psalms record something about that. In 96, verse 10, say unto the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. That was the fourth stanza we just sang. Then the fifth stanza, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Psalm 98 ends the same way. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. In one of Jesus' parables, the parable of the tares and the wheat, he ended it this way, Matthew 13:41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. The Apostle Paul, when he addressed himself, turned from looking at the Gentiles and started talking to the Jews in the church at Rome in chapter 2. He spoke of that judgment. He spoke of it this way in verses 5 and 6. After thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. And, listen, revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And now let me interrupt the reading and make you all realize that this is the second time now the third time. We found it in our text. We found it in Revelation 20, verse 12. And now here again. It's not on the basis of our deeds, but the expression always used in the scriptures is according to our deeds. And then again, in verse 16 of chapter 2 of Romans, in the day when the Lord shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Those verses tell us that there's going to be a judgment day. The judgment day can be described this way. It's a wonder work of God that he does in Christ, whereby one, he manifests, he reveals all of his rational, moral creatures with the works that have been performed by them in time. He manifests us and our works in light of his holy law. And he does that before the consciousness of all rational, moral creatures, the entire rational, moral world. He manifests, opens us up. Two, judges them. Three, expresses the verdict, which forever determines their future state. A wonder work of God in Christ, whereby he manifests every rational moral creature with their deeds in the light of his holy law, and he manifests that before the entire rational moral world. Evaluates them, judges them by his law, and then three, executes the verdict that they have earned. And that verdict forever determines their future state. The judge. The invisible God, the God who is spirit, not just a spirit, who is spirit, will judge by his Son. Jesus is the judge, not God. He doesn't do it in the place of God or instead of God, but he does it as the representative of the invisible God. So God is judging through Jesus. John 5. As the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. John 5:22. We keep reading. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Then 26 and 27. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And now another parenthetical thought. The name Son of God always implies Jesus' deity. But the name Son of Man, given first in the book of Daniel chapter 9, and now here again, has an emphasis not of Jesus' humanity, though that is there, but the emphasis is, when you hear Son of Man, and that's the favorite name, the most frequent name that Jesus uses for himself, it emphasizes he's the judge. Just as it said in that last 27th verse, God hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. That's the reason. Who will be judged? Every rational, moral creature. Angels. God, 2 Peter 2:4, spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3 says, the saints with Jesus will join with Jesus, as it were, on the judgment seat, judging angels. Our text emphasizes that. We, Paul writes, we must, all of us must, everyone. That's personal. We won't stand as a group. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ individually, one by one. Yes, it might take, as far as we are concerned, a long time. But it's a judgment of each one of us individually. We will not be able to shift the blame. We will not be able to think or say, the devil made me do it. We will not be able to say, as sometimes we like to do to our parents, everybody else did it. We will not be able to blame our church or our family. It'll be us and the Lord Jesus Christ individually. Each one held responsible and accountable to him for our own person, conduct, and behavior. The text uses the word appear. That's an interesting word in the Greek. We must all appear. The word appear means we will be exposed, opened up, and exposed, so that it's as it were, we will be turned inside out. Mark 4, verse 22. There is nothing hid that shall not be manifested, neither anything kept secret that it should not come abroad, or literally, that it should not come to light. One more. There is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it shall come abroad or come to light. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Same truth taught us in Revelation 20, verse 12. Everything done in our bodies, not just the outward, the physical, because every deed that's done in the body has its roots in the mind and in the will. So everything done, the hearts also laid open and exposed. They will be judged, God says, according to their ethical value, their ethical worth, good or bad in God's eyes. Good, remember, how to define good? Lord's Day 33, out of faith, in harmony with God's law, out of love for him, and to his glory. Three requirements for whether it's a good work. Out of faith, in harmony with the law, and to God's glory. This makes it very clear, just as we found in the Article 37 of the Belgian Confession, even the idle words, even the jokes, the things that we say that are funny, are amusement. Ecclesiastes 11 ends this way. Young people, this is to you and to me. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Remember thou thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Exposed, made manifest, very publicly, but made manifest to ourselves. We will be exposed to ourselves. We will know ourselves as we've never known ourselves before. We will know the number of our sins. We will know the horrible nature and the wickedness of each sin. We will know the extent of our depravity and sinfulness. And I may stop there. That would be wrong. And we will know ourselves as God knows us. Because when our sins are exposed, the judge, you couldn't have a more prejudiced judge for you. It's your Savior. The judge will read the sin and he will say immediately, I paid for it. It's already punished. It's gone. And while we sometimes struggle to remember the relationship that God has given to us to have with Jesus Christ, one from all eternity unto all eternity, so one, God can't look at you without seeing Jesus. That's when we're going to see ourselves the way God sees us. He can't look at Jesus without seeing you, and he can't look at you without seeing Jesus. We will know ourselves as God knows us in Christ by grace. We will see the beauty that grace worked upon us. Exposed, revealed. We must all be a peer. What's the purpose? The purpose is beautifully expressed in one word, theodicy. And I remember standing up here in front of you, and I am sorry for being so repetitive, but I know that I've said to you, theos is God, and the D-I-C-Y, the dici, is a reference to that Latin and then that Greek word that means justified. God will be seen as just. God will be seen as just in everything that he determined and that he performs in all of history. We have questions now. We're ready to say, why, Lord? He'll show us. He'll show us. And we're going to stand in utter amazement at how God was able to control and use one event and affect good for so many of his elect at one time. Even though we're all different parts of a body, it'll affect each one of those members in the best way, just what they needed at that moment. And if you will, the marvel that we're going to see and have at the wisdom and the rightness of everything that God did in this life is going to give us all the figure of speech, the fuel that we'll need to praise Him forever. Theodicy. God is just. Jesus Christ in His cause is not referenced in this text, but Jesus Christ in His cause will be publicly justified. That's what that article of the Belgian Confession also spoke to. His saints will share in that public justification of Jesus Christ and their union with Him. Now our text says that God will be justified in this. God's purpose is so that each one of us, the elect, will receive the things done in their body, whether it be good or bad. That day, God will give us what's called a recompense to each person for the works that they did in this life. Now, there's people who get away with sin. That's the value of that verse in Romans 2. They don't get away with it. God puts it in a bank, and they treasure up wrath against themselves, against the day of wrath. He just builds up the treasury. They earn with interest, and He will visit them. But right now in this life, there's sins that go unpunished, it seems. And there's good that is not rewarded. Now we'll explain that a bit later. But the word in the text is we will receive. Everyone will receive the things done in his body. The word that's translated receive means literally to carry off as one's own. Carry away as one's own. The wicked will actively carry away hell as properly theirs. The wicked will properly carry away hell as their own. They didn't get away with it. Never. And the sins of all of God's people will be exposed. But they're going to be exposed in the light of the love that God has for us and what that love did for us in the death of the judge. When David remembered the sins of his youth and he cried again, the value of that is only this: that as he matured in his faith, he was able to reflect. And the things that he thought weren't wrong or so bad or so serious, he began to see were wrong. But then we look up and we hear him say, I've cast those sins into the sea of utter forgetfulness. And if you lose sleep because of them, you're sinning. And your sin is, you don't agree with me. I've forgiven them. They're gone. They are no more. Forgive. I have. When you remember what I have forgotten, I'm not wrong. You're wrong. No wonder you're going to lose sleep. The sins of the past he says to us, are forgiven. The judgment, notice the words again, according to, not on the basis of. The basis for the judgment is always Jesus Christ. The basis of the judgment is what he has done for us. He paid. So our entrance into glory, our ability to have a right to the kingdom of heaven, is the power of grace in Jesus Christ. Now, this is an interesting way to translate the text too. Take a look. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done. Notice the first done is in italics. It's not in the original. But the second one is done. And that word do or done is the word practiced. We practiced. Practiced. And that means this. Believers sin. Absolutely. There's nothing that we do that doesn't need. Even our best works, have spots. We have to be forgiven of them all. But the child of God, by the grace of God, does not practice sin. We repent. We're in a battle against sin, our own sin and sinfulness, constantly battling. Our practice is to hate sin. Our practice, even if we don't hate it as much as we ought or as deeply as we ought, our practice is to hate sin. We don't practice it when we are repenting. We cease the doing of it. So the essential, we may never forget this, the essential governing principle and power of a believer is the regenerated heart. It's the wonder of God's grace within us. It's the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's given to us, that indwells us, that will never be taken from us. And that Spirit of Christ sanctifies us constantly. Sanctified principally at the cross, but it's a constant work throughout our life of that sanctifying Spirit. And that sanctifying Spirit shows his work when we're sorry, when we repent, when we get on our knees, when we ask again to be forgiven over and over. Now, when he says according to, what he means is this. The relationship between our place in heaven will be directly proportionate according to what God by his grace did through us on this earth. That judgment is according to. What it means is it takes into light the talents. Some five. More is required of them than the one who has one. The one will be required for the one. But the one with five will be required to do the five according to their circumstances, according to the light of the revelation that was given to them, according to a Down syndrome child versus one without Downs. God will judge perfectly, fairly, according to their abilities, according to what he gave to them to be able to do. That's emphasized not so much about heaven, but it is about hell. When Jesus said more than once to the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida and to Capernaum, the works that I performed in your midst make you more guilty than Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were so horrible that God had to bring them to hell right away. But it would be more tolerable for them than for you because of what was done in your midst and in your sight. according to God is very fair. He doesn't judge my wife according to the same standard he judges me. He doesn't judge a child to the same standard that he judges an adult. But he judges according to. This statement, used repeatedly in the scriptures and in the confessions, is not something that's contrary to the salvation which is by grace alone. And again, salvation by grace is the basis. We will be declared righteous and rewarded only because Christ died in our stead and obeyed for us. But the verdict that we receive will harmonize with the character of our earthly life, and maybe a better way to say it is, it'll harmonize with the good that God worked in us to will and to do. In perfect harmony. It's all grace. In that judgment day, we will be with God. We will join his party, if you will, with respect to our own sin. So Matthew 25 records when Jesus says to the sheep, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom for you, prepared for you." They're going to say, and we're going to say, when did we do that? The very nature of the child of God ought to be in this life a humility that's evidenced when we stand before the judge and we with him say, "I'm not worthy," and not in what I did. And the judge will say, "But you and I are one. Election put us together. You were at the cross. You died with me. You were in the empty grave. You arose with me unto newness of life. You and I are one." And then we'll acknowledge that God is good. And we'll acknowledge his goodness both in condemning sin and in his wonder of grace, boundless grace. That's the purpose. The necessity, we must appear. Think of that from God's perspective, but be careful. Don't think that God needs to learn something, that the judgment day will teach God something. No, 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 no. But it is for God, so that we, and reprobate and elect, will see the rightness, the righteousness of God in his judgments against the reprobate and in his blessings to the elect. We will see and join him so that we will be praising him for his condemnation of the sins committed by all the reprobate, and we will rejoice in seeing the sins of all the elect covered in the boundless grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will also see, and now that's the idea of the catechism, that while the cause of the truth of God's word will be mocked and ridiculed. And this is something we have to remember when we anticipate a president and a Congress that's not going to want to reflect the authority that they carry. But we don't despair. God will set it right one day, and that day will reveal that what they contradicted and mocked was really the cause of Christ, and it was right and good. Christ's work will be glorified. We will see his righteousness in exposing the evil of the wicked. And even the ungodly, when they go to hell, will say, "I belong here." I wasn't covered in the blood of the Lamb. I deserve it. And the elect will bring praise and glory to him for the glory of the grace that would cover a wretch like me. Our comfort in the knowledge of the judgment day is not that we will be freed from the judgment, but it's that we will be brought into the judgment where the judge is our Savior and he will be declaring to us, innocent, innocent. Our comfort is that we will be seen and we will be able to see better than, and we can say this now, we can't wait for that day when we will be seen and we will see ourselves the way God sees us now. Forgiven, a saint, a holy one, covered, so covered that there's no condemnation that can be brought against us. That's our Savior. The year is ending. We look forward to that day. And again, the language of the catechism or the confession of faith is most comfortable and desirable. So with the catechism confession, we say, finally, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. We thank thee, Father, for this word. We thank thee that the word of thy scriptures is there for us to teach us, to comfort us, to encourage us to walk as before thee. May we practice godliness, repenting over and over as we walk through this life, assured that the relationship established by thee from eternity will last to eternity, or as Paul wrote it, so united that nothing in this life can separate us from thy love. Adopted as thy children in eternity, and shown to be thine forever. Amen.